Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it.
Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
But let's shift those gears, baby. Let's move on to the...
Let's get some meat.
I want to get some meat. No water, no vegetables. I just want meat.
Well, Dave, it's your turn to break out the bacon here. Go for it. It's all yours. Take it. Run.
Well,
steal the bacon, Dave. Steal the bacon.
I'm going to steal the bacon right here. Put the bacon out with the bathwater too. The biggest news coming out WrestleMania weekend was the news that Endeavor Sports and WWE are merging to form a corporation valued at over $21.4 million, something like that. And Endeavor owns, and Chris and I talk a little bit about this in a segment we have coming up, but Endeavor owns UFC, and they also owns the Power Slap, which I despise, it's just stupid. But they have that, and now the WWE is going to be involved with it. What I did earlier today is I put together kind of like a news story, and I have some audio clips from CNBC. Give them credit. They were the ones that did this. I put this together with help of a couple of different websites and more, but I wanted to give CNBC credit for doing this very good story. And I'm not a fan of CNBC, I'll tell you that right now, but they did a good job on this. So we're going to play that, and then I wanted to also come right back right after that and play a little parody song about Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And we'll talk more about that. Let's get right to that story from CNBC. The WWE and UFC parent company Endeavor have officially agreed on a merger. Now, the total value of the merger is said to be at least $21.4 billion. Endeavor will hold 51% of controlling interest and the WWE shareholders in control of the remaining 49%. The new company, which is yet to be named, will be traded under the ticker symbol TKO. Now, interviewed on CNBC, Endeavor CEO Ari Emanuel noted he sees endless opportunities by adding the WWE to his company.
Combined, it's rarefied air, the two of us. And I think the analysts will be able to do it. It's good for the shareholders of WWE and for the shareholders of Endeavor.
The move is also said to be financially beneficial to one Vincent Kennedy McMahon, who will maintain a position of power with the new ownership. In that same interview on CNBC, McMahon said this.
I'm always looking what's best for our stockholders, what's best for the company. This is the best thing that's happened in a long, long time. All of the WrestleManias combined have been 39, including tomorrow. Does it really equal to the magnitude of what we will do together?
The new company will be led by Emanuel as the chief executive officer. McMahon will act as the executive chairman of the board, and Mark Shapiro will serve as president and chief operating officer of both Endeavor and the new company. Now, Dana White will be president of the UFC. Nick Khan, who currently serves as the same position, will be president of the WWE. The transaction is pending regulatory approval and is expected to close in the second half of 2023.
You are the WWE, and the WWE is you. So why?
It's the right time. It's the right time to do the right thing. And it's the next evolution of WWE.
Now, on July the 22nd of last year, Vince McMahon announced that he was retiring from the company at the age of 77. Now, he did this on a temporary basis because he was accused of basically taking a lot of money from the WWE. Now, we'll get into that a little bit later on. But remember, this is an accusation. He was accused of paying millions of dollars to various women in exchange for silence over relationships and misconduct with those women. Vince came out of retirement in January saying he was preparing to sell the WWE. Cage Side Seats reports this. On March the 20th of 2023, the WWE Inc. Entered into a reimbursement agreement with Vincent Kennedy McMahon, the company's chief executive chairman, director, and controlling stockholder. The agreement provides that McMahon will pay the company approximately $17.4 million to reimburse the company for the costs that had been incurred and paid by the company and or its subsidiaries through January the 31st of 2023 in connection with and or arising from the investigation into the scandal. Now, opinion here, that is not a news, this is not part of the news story, opinion. $17.4 million taken from the company sounds like theft to me. Once again, that is my opinion. Now, Vince McMahon reportedly is back in control of Monday Night Raw, especially in the creative. The Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania was, my opinion, one of the worst wrestling programs I have ever seen. There was a lot of backlash on the internet. Vince is back in control. Is he going to let his ego get involved?
It's all about the money.
Now, he had that character of Mr. McMahon, which was very egocentric. But was it far from what Vince really is? The actions of the past year, I would say, not that far. Here's a parody of sorts about Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Remember, this is just a parody.
Earlier tonight, my father, Vince McMahon, retired from WWE. This is the company that he created, that he founded. And he wanted to make sure in his retirement that he thanked all of you.
Pick up on this! Pick up on this!
Daddy's coming home!
Hey! I'm a greedy man. Greedy man. I'm a greedy man. I'm a greedy man.
But he's got to be one of the most miserable people I've ever seen.
And I want more, more, more.
Wait a minute, sister. You got to have something to sit on before I carry you home. Don't say I ain't got it.
I'm going to stand you without you.
I'm a greedy man.
Man, he is one
my
sick
name
puppy.
Is Jody. I'm a greedy man.
Greedy man.
I'm a greedy man.
I'm gonna stop being so damn nice.
Hey!
Yes, yes, yes. I'll tell you to your face. I'll tell each and every one of you to your face. The answer's yes.
I'm a greedy man.
Greedy man.
I want more, 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 more.
It's back at you, Dave.
Cool. What'd you think?
I thought the parody was good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand. Okay, you're going to have to, what is it they always say, Dave? Talk to me like I'm trying to explain this quote merger to somebody who's, I don't want to say like a child, because a child really wouldn't care about a merger. Who would care about a merger, Dave?
Financial people that got some money. Does that make sense?
Okay, talk to me like I'm not, Talk to me like I'm not a financial person with money. Because I texted you.
That's easy to do, Zane.
The other day. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, no kidding. Don't be self-employed, they said. You'll make all this money, they said.
Yeah, they said, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You work also 23 and a half hours a day. So you don't have time to record your favorite podcast with your favorite friend anymore. But so I guess I'm a little bit confused on this whole thing. And you kind of explained it to me a little bit over SMS messaging. They didn't get bought out. They merged. I don't understand what's going on. Help me.
Well, Endeavor has the controlling interest in the company, which will be traded as TKO. If you're watching, you know, you're watching with the financial news and they got the stock market, you see TKO, that will be the merged company. Endeavor is the owner of UFC and PowerSlap. Endeavor is now the majority stockholder in the WWE. WWE shareholders, which you are one of, owns like 49% of the company. Nick Khan is still the president of the WWE portion. Dana White over UFC. But the executive vice president over WWE is Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Now, Vince is also rumored to be back as the head of creative for the WWE, which I think might be the biggest mistake this whole thing went. But a merger is different than a sale, because even though Vince gets money in the deal, he is still working for the company. He just doesn't make all the decisions like he did before. How long that's going to last, your guess is as good as mine. A merger just means two companies are coming together to form one. If Endeavor would have bought out the WWE, paid the $9.2 billion that they wanted, then they would own lock, stock, and barrel. But now it's just three different companies under one umbrella. Does that make sense?
Okay, I'm trying to think for how to phrase this, because it kind of makes me want to get a little bit, kind of makes me want to swear a little bit, right?
Uh-huh.
Kind of gets my veins poking out, and my eyes get all bloodshot for a minute. But why does Vince care? Go retire, man. Like, well, I don't understand what this is all about. He makes this big power play to get these cronies on the board so that they can reinstate him so that he can sell his stock. Why didn't he just sell his stock? I don't get it.
Power
the
trip.
The guy already has billions. Like, what?
Power trip.
Go the hell away. Go live on your yacht, man.
You know the thing that ticks me off about this whole thing? Now, honestly, I mean, I think a lot of people are like me. Not everyone, because everybody has different opinions. But the thing that really upsets me about this whole situation was back in July, I think it was around July the 22nd, Vince actually retired, quote, quote, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because he had taken millions, not thousands, not hundreds, millions of dollars to pay off women who he'd had dalliances with, affairs and more. Millions of the company's money. That's you, Bubba. It took your money. You're a shareholder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back in March, March 23rd, Cage Side Seats had an article that said that Vince had agreed to pay back to the WWE. Listen to this. Pay back to the WWE $17.4 million.
What an asshat.
You know, the man deserves to be in jail. That's my opinion.
That's embezzlement. Oh, that's embezzlement, dude.
It's embezzlement. It's stealing. It's, and then he gets back and he does what he did a week ago, the Monday night after the Monday Night Raw after Mania, which was pathetic because he changed everything at the last minute like he always does. He goes in and takes a show, doesn't like a segment because it doesn't suit his vision, and he changes everything. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins, I don't know if you got to watch last week or not. Seth Rollins did a bit backstage where he's talking about Logan Paul, and he goes back and he goes to the ring, the crowd singing his little song, that little chant that they do for him, and then they go to a commercial break. And you come back and you expect something to happen in the ring with Seth, but no, he's walking back from the ring to the back room. And it comes out this week.
What a great time to cut commercial.
Yeah, but what happened was Vince decided to cut Seth Rollins' spot after Seth got to the ring. If I'd have been Seth, I think I'd have been a... Yes, there's a video out there, that a fan video that happened to be there that night, and you can actually see someone from the front office talking to Seth, and he's a little bit upset when he leaves the ring to go to the back. That whole segment was cut for no apparent reason as far as I could tell. I think I texted you that night, Monday Night Raw, 58 minutes of the first hour, 58 minutes. Highlights, one match, which had almost against Elias, a squash match. 58 minutes of wah, 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 wah. It was a yak fest. Might have been what I should have been watching The View. And you know how much I love The View. But it was ridiculous. And the rest of the show wasn't much better the other 2 hours. It was brutal to watch. I remember I was sitting on my easy chair saying to my wife, I said, this is awful. This is pathetic. And you know, like I know, wrestling fans look forward to that Monday Night Raw after Mania. And nothing happened.
Oh,
it was
dude,
pathetic.
That's shiz.
Yeah. Not this year. Awful. Awful.
I don't know. You know, it's like here you and I have been really trying to be positive about the WWE because it's like I think we both get tired of negativity. Like
exactly
so much in our, you know, there's so much negativity in our lives around us and stuff. And professional wrestling is something that we enjoy and we love and it's fun to kind of draw a blank for a minute and watch some kick back and watch some wrestling and, mm-hmm. you know, and enjoy yourself. And like all this negativity stuff, we try to stay away from, but it's really hard to stay positive about all this crap lately in the WWE.
Yeah. And that's what it is.
It's really hard to not want to talk and sit here and make this a whole podcast about Vince being an asshole and stealing shareholders' money. And, you know, the shareholders, we should revolt and sue and remove him from the board.
I know that was a lawsuit that was filed in Vermont shortly after he resigned or retired. I don't know where that's gone and where it went to, but it was in the state of Vermont. It was a class action suit. Don't be surprised, Zane, if you don't get some kind of envelope in the mail or email talking about that as a class action lawsuit because you are a small shareholder. Now, you said... daggum right. You can make $170, right?
So, Dave, if I sell right now... My total return is $174.12. Yep. I own, I'm a big one, Dave, big one. 3.288 shares.
Whew. Man.
Yep. Moving up.
You making the money, baby. Now, we talk about the negative, but they've taken a negative and made it into a positive. You remember the maximum male models? Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
How bad that was?
Yeah.
Well, now they're doing a segment where they're going to add Otis as a model. You know, Otis, what, 5'8" both ways? And it is hilariously funny.
Yeah, he has that mustard all over his shirt.
Oh, I love it.
Hands in the car. And he's like, what?
And then the Street Profits, Montez Ford, he's going to be a huge star. When they decide to break up the Street Profits as a tag team, he's going to be a huge star. He's got the charisma. He's got the talk. He's got the moves. And so there's some positives in the WWE. My problem is I hope that Vince doesn't do such a power play that he gets rid of people again, like Bronson Reed, Johnny Gargano, and Candice LeRae, all those people that he let go when he was on his little power trip before he had to retire.
Yeah.
And then Triple H came back in. I hope that doesn't happen, but don't be surprised. Don't be surprised.
Nothing surprises me.
No.
It's just, it's hard, man. It's hard to stay positive.
Yeah, you know, it is.
Like, especially, you know, you see things other out in the media and other people right now for similar things. And New York City or New York State is opening up, you know, indictments towards him. And he happens to be a former WWE personality for a little while. But,
well, in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
I think Mr. Trump is. Number 45.
Uh-huh.
Do we dare say his name? I don't know if we dare say his name, Dave.
You dare.
Anyway, so, you know, a lot of that stuff that's going on with Trump right now, and everybody's making a big deal out of it. And here Vince does the same thing, and it's like crickets.
Yeah.
But
That,
I don't know. You know, and it's silly to me why Vince is worth how much? What do you think his net worth is? Should we look and see? Let's consult the Book of Knowledge real quick.
$1.43.
McMahon net worth. Vince McMahon net worth, $3.1 billion.
Billion with a B.
Yeah. Billion.
But, you know, I'm going to say this, and I mean this in all sincerity. There's a lot of people that always ask, you know, who would you put on your Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling? Vincent Kennedy McMahon would be on my Mount Rushmore because he changed the game. He changed everything
Absolutely.
In wrestling. But does that mean I like him now? I like what he's doing now? I just see it, and it's my opinion, and I could be completely 100% wrong. And if I am wrong, and I hope I am, all I'm seeing is a man who's 77 years old that doesn't want to give up his power, and he's a workaholic in the first place, that he wants to be involved, and he doesn't care who he hurts. And that is more like the Mr. McMahon character that he played in the ring. And I was hoping that was a character and not him. But right now, I got to say, it seems like it's a lot of him that he portrayed in the ring as Mr. McMahon. I hope I'm wrong. And, you know, I will say I'm wrong if I'm wrong. But I just don't see how you can get away with stealing that amount of money. And that's, to me, that's what he did was steal company funds. Now he's reimbursing. Does that make it wrong? Right? No, it doesn't make it right. He still stole it.
Reimbursed with interest.
Yeah. And that's,
you know,
that's what ticks me off.
And I want to know, like, you know, okay, let's, you're working at the WWE headquarters, Dave. You're back there in Connecticut. And you're crunching away, counting your beans. And you're like, $14 million check to who?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, why is this in miscellaneous supplies? how do you where do you hide $14 million?
You write that check to Susie Boom Boom Kowalski. Yes.
Yeah. He's like, what the heck is Vince doing? Like, put it on his coat. Oh, like, and he goes to his prostitute and he's like, oh, do you have Square? Can I run my company credit card?
I can Venmo you a couple million.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
I mean, I just don't know. So piss on the company, too, for allowing that to happen. You know, who hid that money?
Well,
some accountants or some bean counters or somebody somewhere had to try to make that money disappear. But my accountant tells me money leaves tracks.
Uh-huh. And you notice it John Laurinaitis
always leaves tracks.
John Laurinaitis isn't working there anymore. He left about the same time McMahon did.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I just don't get it. Like, you know, and now here's the thing, Dave. We got to figure out is to try to bring it back into a positive is, you know, all the stars and all the people and all these superstars under the WWE are independent contractors.
Right.
You know, so they work for themselves. So good for them. But the company, that really upsets me and it kind of hurts, you know, as a fan and as like somebody who, like, you and I have loved WWE for our whole lives, and it's like here they're stealing from the company to pay off Vince McMahon's side hooker. So it really is sad to see. Like, it just goes to show you how these large corporations, it doesn't matter if it's one that you and I like, they're all guilty of doing this type of crap.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like this is crap that you hear, like, you know, when Dennis Kozlowski stole all that money from Tyco, you know, this evil CEO of this big security company and, you know, stole, well, here's this evil big CEO of this entertainment company is, you know, doing the same thing.
Right.
But that's not something you and I think of. When we think of embezzlement and fraud and all that stuff, we're like, oh my gosh, it's got to be the CEO for these big, you know, security companies or these big banks or these big, it's not supposed to be our company.
Right.
It's not supposed to be our fun.
Yeah.
And it kind of is a little bit disheartening when you start thinking, going, well, that really sucks. The thing that I really, one of my favorite pastimes is literally no better than any other shitty, large billion-dollar corporation.
Like movie theaters.
That sucks.
Yeah. Movie companies. Yeah. Entertainment companies in Hollywood. They've got so much. You got government offices. I mean, look what's going on in New York City, in Chicago, San Francisco. These big cities, you know, there's so much corruption. And I will say this, and I don't want somebody to misunderstand me. It's on both sides of the aisle. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, both sides of the aisle, and there's too many corrupt people in politics and in major business. And it, I don't know what I can do about it except for complain and yak what I'm doing. But it really does upset me. And I'm hoping I'm wrong about the WWE. And I do see the product really falling off over the next year.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what we can do. And I'll tell you what I have done. You know, we've talked about this on a couple pods ago, and I did it again. I put my money where my mouth is. I like pro wrestling. I love it. My kid loves it. You love it. right. our podcast. This is something that we put a lot of time into. And I am extremely pleased to announce again that I'll be sponsoring the June show. I'll be sponsoring the Battle Royale for STF Pro Wrestling.
Cool.
And so because I see the value in what Darren is doing. Darren's super cool, which reminds me, I got to send you some clips that he sent me for some guys he's got coming in June.
Okay.
That are there's one guy called Chupacabra.
Uh-huh.
Really good luchador. He's got some really good guys coming, and I think he's really trying to build this into a rock solid promotion, and I hope it keeps going for him. But that's one thing that we can do, Dave, is we support our local professional wrestling, you know, Devotion Championship Wrestling, STF, Dive. You know, you were even talking earlier about watching Women of Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a smaller promotion. And MLW. MLW is putting out some killer stuff right now, man.
Yes, they are.
They got some good guys over there. I believe you said, is there another member of the Hanoi family that's over there?
Yeah,
right now?
Fatu. Sika Fatu.
Yeah.
And then they have Alexander Hammerstone, who's the champion. He's a great performer. They have some good talent over there. Their main talent is really good. You get into their mid-level talent, not as good. But
exactly.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's good stuff, and but you know, by you supporting them and watching them and stuff, that helps their products. You know,
right.
the advertisers or whatever it is that they make their money off of. That's how I guess we can do it. I don't know if there will ever be a company that can quote compete back to back with the WWE. AEW is giving it. AEW is giving it their damnedest because
right.
the cons have billions and I, you know, that's going to have to be something we'll have to talk about another day, and maybe we ought to bring Chris in on that. You know, if we could touch on it right now real quick and then save it for another time. But is AEW pulling its weight, or are the cons propping it up with billions that they have in the bank?
Well, you know, I got to.
That would be a question for you.
Yeah, I would got to say one thing about that. If they weren't doing fairly well, then they wouldn't be talking about adding a third show on Saturday night. And that's TNT has approached them about a possibility of a third show. They've also added a kind of a back scene, back behind the scenes show right after Dynamite. That's on TBS. They've added that this past month, and it's very well done. They're starting to get back on the road. They purchased ROH. I think they're doing fine. Now, they haven't been 100%. There have been controversies there. They've done some things wrong. But that's what business is. If you learn from your mistakes, then you're going to be better off. And I think the AEW learns from their mistakes a little bit better. Now, AEW is a different type of wrestling. I've said it before, AEW is more for the broad wrestling fan, the guy who likes a little hardcore, guy who likes a little comedy, guy who likes rough and tumble, a guy who likes lucha.
Uh-huh.
They do it all there, where most of the wrestling in WWE is kind of the same. They mix lucha style with the catch and catch can. They don't do hardcore.
Yeah.
They don't do blood and guts unless it's a mistake. But boy, AEW, any match that John Moxley's in, you know there's going to be blood. But, it's not the same type of wrestling. And I think that makes it easier to watch. I mean, when you get the Best Friends and you get Orange Cassidy, and they're doing some great things. The thing with Sting, did you see when Sting teamed with Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy in a six-man tag? And here's Sting. How many years has he been in the business? He gets into the ring and starts doing the slow kick just like Orange Cassidy. It was great. It was fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, super fantastic. You know, it's a really strange time right now, you know, out there. And with this whole merger thing, we don't really know what that really means quite yet. I guess it's
exactly.
You know, the news just barely broke, and right. So do we know if maybe the president of the company is going to be like, "All right, Vince, so you suck. Our ratings are down. Get the heck out."
And it could happen.
Because obviously, yeah, you know, they're buying the WWE for a reason, and that reason is because it makes a lot of money.
A lot of money.
And, yeah. So, like, that's the reason why. And if they start seeing those ratings slide and they start seeing those seats empty in the stands and you know, they're going to be going, you guys see, now that's an interesting thing in which I'm really surprised why they would do that. For Vince McMahon to be held accountable, or the WWE as a whole to be held accountable to another company now, seems awfully bizarre, because Vince has always been, you know, king shiz up on, you know, Diamond Crap Mountain or whatever they call it. You know, he's always been up there. He's never had to answer to anybody. So what could possibly happen now if this other company, or, you know, the majority shareholder company goes, we don't like the way you guys are heading. I believe you've talked about that before too, when because you've been involved with mergers, buyouts and things in radio stations, and a lot of times they'll come in and clean house.
Yeah, that does happen a lot. And I wouldn't be, you know, like you said, we don't know which direction this is going to go. I would not be surprised. Not saying it's going to happen, just would not be surprised if 6 months down the road, if things continue to slide in the WWE and the fans start revolting, that Endeavor is going to go to Vince and say, "We're going to take some of this responsibility off of your hands." And
yeah,
because I mean, if you ever get online and just look and see the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, and how bad the critics and the fans, I'm not talking critics, okay? The fans were just really up in arms, calling it the worst Raw of all time. And there have been some really bad Raws. You know, the last 2 years, up until Vince retired, Raw was really, really bad. You remember us talking about that. And
it was
last Monday.
You know, do you think he sits back and looks at the monitor, or like watches a replay and goes, "That
was a good show. That was a great show. Look at that. We kicked Seth Rollins out of the ring. That was a good segment."
Like, can he not see what he's doing?
You know, you make a point. You make a good point. And I'm going to say this. Vince can still make good decisions. But I'm going to say four people now that need to say, "You know what? I'm not perfect." And that those are Vince McMahon, Eric Bischoff, Vince Russo, and James E. Cornette. All they can do is criticize why professional wrestling is now and trying to take it back to a different era. It's today. Find out what works today. Yeah. And some of the stuff that worked yesterday is going to work today, but not everything. And I get so tired of Russo and Jim Cornette, and now Dutch Mantel's doing a little bit, complaining all the time.
Yeah.
"Well, back in the day, we wouldn't have done that." Well, I don't care about back in the day. That was so many years. And I'm an old fart, man. I'm 65, almost 66. You know, but I don't care what happened. I enjoyed it back then. I enjoy a lot of the stuff going on in wrestling today, and I don't think they do, because they can't open their flipping eyes.
Yeah, and you know, and it's interesting too that you bring that up, because how many times until fairly recently, when Triple H took over, were we booking the same guys? I mean, it's like for years,
I mean, we've been trying to get Stone Cold back in a match. We've been trying to get – I mean, it's like – it seems like every time there's a major event or a SummerSlam or a – or, you know, it's like they're always trying to book the same guys. These older guys trying to get them back in here. We saw it a little bit with this WrestleMania with, like, Trish Stratus and,
right,
and stuff. But, like, you know, you and I commented, I think, both of us, in the Rumble, there wasn't one – legend that came,
yeah,
in the last men's Rumble, and we were both like, huh, I guess Booker T kind of, right?
Yeah, but he was there for a short time.
Yeah, but like it always seemed like that we were always trying to get the same guys that were headlining, you know, 15 years ago, just keep headlining now. And it's like you got new guys, you know, guys like Ricochet, you know, like Cena. Mm-hmm. I love Cena.
Yeah,
I love Cena. But obviously Cena has said or let it be known that he's kind of moving on. And good for him. I wouldn't blame him. He can make $51 million off of a 7-day movie shoot versus $1 million on the road for 360 days a year. Good for him. Like, he figures his worth and his value and goes for it. But it's like, you know, and the theory match and stuff was good, but there's so much new talent out there, guys like Ricochet and some of these younger guys who are so flipping good, and you and I just pound our head against the wall because, like, why are we not booking these guys and passing the torch to these guys? And finally, we started to see it with the Bloodline stuff and the Street Profits and some of these people, you know, Bron Breakker in NXT, and there's been some pretty good young guys we've been talking about a lot lately, and I got a feeling if things keep going with our old pal in charge, it's going to be the same crap repeat of 2019,
yeah,
2018, just booking the guys.
Yep, agreed.
And so, I don't know. Whatever that's worth, but it gets old. You know, we want to see these new guys. You know, Roman Reigns has shown that he can carry the torch. Let him carry that baby. Let's put him in some slobber knockers. Let him talk some smack, you know. Let's see what guys like Cody Rhodes can do. Maybe it's Cody can carry the torch for a while. I mean, there's so many guys and so much talent that, you know, the Intercontinental title is one as well. That match between Sheamus, Gunter, and Drew McIntyre, that was a great match.
Oh, man, wasn't it?
That was a very – I have not seen a physical match like that for a long time. I mean, those guys, you know, for not being a bloody match or anything like that, but you could tell some of those shots they were taking, like when Gunther powerbombed Sheamus on the back of Drew McIntyre, you could tell that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way in hell you powerbomb an almost, you know, a 200 and whatever pound Sheamus on the back of somebody and it doesn't hurt, you know.
And then you see Finn Balor get his head cut wide open when that ladder didn't land right, and what, 16 staples he had in his head.
Yeah.
And you know, Finn he's been a star. But when he tore that muscle after winning the first Universal title, he hasn't been ever back to that that level again.
Yeah, they put him on the mid. They put him on mid card again.
Right.
You know, and that's something we need to talk about. You know, I kind of wanted to touch it. We'll touch on it on this show and maybe really get into it depth on next show. Is the mid card? You know, I was really glad to see that Intercontinental match. I was glad to see like Cena in the U.S. title match. But it still kind of seemed like it got overlooked. So think about that for our next show of what would Dave do to book the mid card.
Oh, I got
better.
Some good ones. I got some ideas there already in my head.
Yes. But anyways, yeah, we'll just have to see how things play out. I mean, it's still exciting. I'm still kind of, I don't want to jump to any conclusions on what's going to happen with the WWE. Hopefully this was a good move. Hopefully it'll bring some fresh ears and eyes on the product and who knows what we'll see.
He walks around with a phone around his neck. I mean, what are people to think? You've got him now so bad he don't even believe in wrestling no more.
Watch me put my famous sleeper hold on.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you. It doesn't get any better.
Do you know anything about what happened to Bray Wyatt?
You know, it's been pretty well almost hush-hush, so anything that I would say right now would be on the rumor mill. I want to preface that. There were rumors that there was an injury. There were rumors that they weren't happy with the storyline. There were rumors that he was physically ill. Now, whether it was COVID, whether it was an illness like he had back in the day when he and Finn Balor were supposed to have that match, if you'll remember that, if he picked up some illness. But what that did, if you'll remember, Bray Wyatt said that he wanted the winner of Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. That's what they did about 2 weeks build up of that, and then all of a sudden it was gone. It was history. There was no talk about it on the air. A lot of internet rumors started at that point. That's why I said earlier in this podcast that Bobby Lashley got screwed out of his WrestleMania moment. And he did. I mean, he comes out, you know, when he comes out of Mania, I won the Battle Royal. I'm the Andre the Giant. Hey, congratulations on that, but you're better than that, you know.
That's your consolation prize.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what I've been hearing and I've been reading, but once again, preface that with saying anything that I say is nothing but internet rumor, and I can't substantiate any of it. Every bit of it could have some sort of, you know, truth about it. But there's been no talk about it. There hasn't been any really big news about it. Is Bray Wyatt coming back? Is somebody else going to take over that role of Bray Wyatt, you know, and then they kind of just put Bray back in the background? Is somebody else going to take that kind of freaky role? So what?
Don't forget Alexa.
Oh, yeah, and Alexa Bliss. Because they were getting a push for her. And then when Bray Wyatt stuff went, all of a sudden she's out of there. And she's also one of my favorites. I have my Lily doll in my living room right now. I mean, my wife got me a Lily doll for Christmas. I love it. I would love to see her play, you know, do that role again with Bray Wyatt. And they were setting that up. What happened? I don't know. There really hasn't been even a lot of internet scuttlebutt about that. It's crazy.
I don't know. I mean, that's a match we got robbed of, because let's face it, the Bray Wyatt storyline, Uncle Howdy or whoever it was behind the mask, it got boring really quickly. It was just too drawn out. But then he wanted the winner. I would love to have seen Bray Wyatt and Bobby Lashley go at it. I would love to see the stories that they would do. It would be interesting, but you know what? I mean, wow. We'll never know.
Talk about one other person that I was surprised did not have a WrestleMania moment, and that was L.A. Knight.
I knew you were going to say, L.A. Knight.
He was getting such a pop from the crowd. If you watch that Andre the Giant Battle Royal, he probably got the second biggest pop of the night. You know, he really did. And for them not to use him in some form in WrestleMania, whether it was a run-in or whether it was him and Bobby Lashley going at it when Lashley came out to set up a feud there, which I really thought when Lashley came out, somebody was going to attack him. Who it was going to be, I have no idea. A missed opportunity, WWE, once again. But I think LA Knight gets enough pop from the crowd, whether he's a heel or whether he's a face is yet to be determined. How are they going to use him over the coming weeks? Will they use him with Vincent Kennedy McMahon now under control again? Give me a break. How are they going to, and it's going to be, what's going to happen on SmackDown? I got to agree with you there.
I mean, if now that the great white loser, you know, El Mustacho is back, I mean, good Lord. I mean, is there a beacon of hope, or are we just going to have to say, you know what, your stocks are going to go down. Thank you for the great WrestleMania, and let's see how far this train can go without it being derailed.
So yeah, let's talk about this merger with the Endeavor Company, which owns UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship, and the stupidest sport to come along in years, Power Slap. I will never, ever, may I say, ever watch Power Slap. Thank you, Chris Jericho. I mean, that's just stupid. That's just a stupid sport. But anyway, how is this going to play out for you?
I think it's going to get 10 times worse. It's a 21 point. It was $21 billion merger.
Right.
Now the stakes are even higher. How much will the U.S., how much will Endeavor have, you know, a stake in this or a say in what's going to happen? I think it's a stupid move by Dana White. I think it's a dumb move by Endeavor to do this. What do they have to gain from it? I mean, are we going to see Conor McGregor jump in the ring against and slap Paul Heyman? Or are we going to see one of their champions, you know, challenge? Come on. I mean, I can see why they're doing it, but it makes no sense. The UFC is somewhat real fighting. I think that UFC and the WWE are almost alike. They build up the same way that the WWE does. But I don't think it's going to do anything. I think it's just two companies merging together to see if they can destroy the evil empire called AEW that's, you know, gaining ground. And that's what's scaring Vince. I think that's why he did it. It's scaring him because AEW is finally getting a lot of legs up, and a lot of WWE fans say, I'm tired of this. I'm switching over to this channel. We don't have just the Monday Night Wars, and now it's the Who Are You For War. Are you going to stay with the WWE? Are you going to stay with AEW? Which one?
Well, it appears that McMahon is going to be over the WWE product. And
yeah,
I just got to say this, and this is what upsets me to the no end. And in his personal life, I could care less, okay? But what got Vince in trouble before was him taking millions of dollars out of the coffers to pay money to get women not to talk about their affairs.
Yep.
And that's what led to him leaving the WWE. And now, I'm looking at this as a power trip for him to come back and say, I am Vince McMahon. I could be wrong, okay? I'm just saying this is the way I'm taking it. And a lot of people are going to have different opinions than I. And I'm okay with that. Okay? I'm okay with people disagreeing with me. I really am okay with people disagreeing with me. But to see him come back after what I consider stealing from his company, you know, I think it's a shame. And almost to the point where I don't want to watch the product right now. I will because that's how much I like and love professional wrestling, and I don't want to hurt the performers. But if it continues the way that Monday Night Raw went, the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, you know, and I know, is supposed to be one of the highlights of the year. That's where things happen. That's where new feuds are brought about. That's where people are celebrating and just loving what happened on WrestleMania weekend. And that's how they set up the next year. Well, if this past Monday Night Raw was a setup for what we can expect for the WWE product between now and Philadelphia next year, I'm going to go have to get some no-dos because that product's going to put me to sleep. It was bad. Well, it was very pathetic.
Yes, it was. It was bad. It was something that you just had to look at your television and go, why am I watching this? Can someone please explain it to me?
Give me a break.
Yep, that's just the way it is now.
But why? I mean, that makes no sense.
True. It doesn't make sense, but now that's just the norm now. Now that the great Ali or whatever, the great Kali or whatever it is that we call it, Vince McMahon, that's now that he's back, he's going to make this. I bet Triple H is probably gone back to his heart doctor because he almost had another heart attack. Because it's probably going to drive him insane.
Well, like, I have said over the last 6 months that AEW tells their story mainly in the ring. And WWE tells by their segments, their pre-produced segments, their long promos. And AEW can get into long promos too, but like they did with MJF this past week in Long Island, that promo with him singing Pennies from Heaven with a big band group singing, playing behind him, even though I thought it was clever, was a little long. But they tell, that's two different ways of telling a story. And I wish WWE would kind of say, let's pull in the reins a little bit on the Yak Fest. I mean, you don't need 30-minute promos. The first 38 minutes, 38 minutes was highlights from WrestleMania and then coming out with Roman Reigns. 38 minutes.
True.
I counted. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, 38 minutes is great. I mean, but it's ridiculous to see this. I mean, it's to the point to where you don't know whether you want an Ambien pill or watch Monday Night Raw. I think doctors can, you know, start prescribing for Monday Night Raw, and that'll put everybody out in about 5 seconds. You know, that'll save me a couple of cents on my sleeping medication. But other than that, I mean, I don't know what else to say or do. Is AEW even better now? I mean, I haven't kept up with them in a while. It's just their botches I've been keeping up with. It's kind of funny, but everybody does the botch.
Right.
I mean, Shane McMahon's the number one botch right now, and the number one meme going around wrestling. So, yeah, it's funny to see it, but I mean, I don't know what to do. Go ahead.
Whenever you have a live performance, you're going to have botches. Okay.
Of course.
I mean, it's theater. This is athletic theater. Things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I try not to get too much into the botches. I mean, sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're not. I mean, a lot of people got upset when you could see Rhea Ripley tell Charlotte Flair right before the pin, "Thank you." You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people got upset with that. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. Not one iota. I want the story to be told. But what I want in my professional wrestling is to have a professional wrestling match. I want that story to be told mainly in the ring. Promos are very important to telling that story. But when the promo takes more precedence than the in-ring action. I think that's where we fall into trouble, and the WWE is going to be having their ratings tank again, like Monday Night Raw tanked when Vince was still in command. And you know and I know, ratings went up right after Vince resigned for Monday Night Raw.
Oh,
because the product got better.
Yeah, it skyrocketed after Vince was gone. And now that we have found out that he's got the keys to the kingdom again, it's just it's just like me with the I'm going to get political. Just like me with Bud Light. Never mind.
Okay.
Just like me with Bud Light. I'll never take another sip ever again. Unless I'm feeling real. If I'm feeling a little draggy, that'll probably happen. Draggy, but that'll never happen. Sorry, bud. But here, the thing of it is that Vince is back. Everybody get used to it. He's here, and he's going to stay until someone assassinates him. And I think I saw Triple H at a gun store and asking for a ghost gun. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen either. But
I don't know what. Happen.
But we also need to acknowledge that Impact Wrestling's had a rough go of it. Josh Alexander, I think is his name, who was their champion, injured. He had to give up his title. Mm-hmm. And I think in MLW, which I've been watching some MLW as of late because they're on the Reels channel, their program has some problems. I'm not going to criticize them too much because their main stars are really, really good. It's their mid-range stars that I kind of cringe at, but their main guys are pretty good in MLW, and I'm gonna give that one a chance to grow on me a little bit. But it's kind of bad when the overall product, when you only have most people as far as wrestling fans are more WWE fans. I think you're seeing that change a little bit. And AEW has their problems. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sing their praises all the time. But if I had to rank right now who I enjoyed watching the most, I'd have to say AEW after that debacle of Monday Night Raw. I hope it changes. I hope that SmackDown tonight, because we're recording this on Friday afternoon, is a lot better than what Monday Night Raw was. And maybe Vince and the writing staff there will see all the internet criticism from fans, because it's been brutal what fans have been saying on social media about the Monday Night Raw after Mania. And I think everyone was so disappointed because that's one of the shows that everyone looks forward to. Is the Raw after Mania. They just think, wow. And it's hard to watch. And I have my problems with Vince McMahon. If he will stay out of the limelight and stop changing everything at the last minute and just run the company. And he's good at running the company. And he could run it in the ground if he doesn't watch it. And that's all I got to say.
That's perfectly said right there. I think even a lot of other fans would agree with you. And I'll wholeheartedly agree with you about that right now, because that's how I see the WWE. It's just like an open wound that you're pouring salt into and you're asking if it feels good. No, not really. I mean, this is an open wound again. And there was a guy that does a podcast. He's on YouTube. And when he found out that Vince was back, he just started beating the table and throwing stuff, and he was cussing and screaming and hollering. He sat back down, and he went, "I feel better now. Let's get back on with the show." And he knew this was going to happen, and somebody called into his podcast and said, "Why are you mad? You knew the man was pulling the strings from the beginning. Why are you upset about this?" So it makes no sense to do it. We know who holds the keys to the kingdom now. And it's time for Triple H to either jump ship or continue with the Titanic and see if he can hold it up as best he can.
Well, on Monday Night Raw, Triple H had some words to say about being there, and whether he's going to hang around. I wouldn't. If I had the money to get away from WWE, I probably would. You know, or at least I would give it 6 months, and then I would, if it was a sinking ship, I'd get away from it. But I worry about how much crossover they're going to do now, like you said, with the UFC. And are they going to do crossover? Are they going to start showing slap fighting on WWE? That is just, I mean, they're showing it on TBS. I won't watch it. It's the possibility for serious injury, concussions, and more is so high with that stupidity that I won't watch it.
It's already happened.
Yeah, it has.
It's already happened. They've got these world's strongest men on there slapping people that they get on YouTube and they'll show you a watermelon, and then they will take their hand and they will slap the watermelon, and it shatters like glass. And then you see these two slapping each other. I can go down to Lauren right now, my girlfriend, and say something. She can slap me for free. I don't have to go see it. I mean, I have to watch it.
Right.
But, I mean, why in God's name are you wanting to watch some two people slap each other? And there was this one guy's face that when he got hit, it looked like he had been run over with a steam shovel. His face was just so swollen out, and he wanted to continue. Okay, this is getting ridiculous.
Right.
Now we have people slapping each other. They have ultimate pillow fighting now on pay-per-view. What's next? How fast can you eat a can of tuna? What's next?
On pay-per-view, how fast can you eat a can of tuna?
Yeah, it's like an argument that me and Lauren had. Marshmallow fluff does not belong on peanut butter sandwiches, and pineapple belongs on pizza. Simple as that.
You don't like no fluffernutters?
No, I do not like marshmallow fluff on peanut butter. It doesn't go there. I can hear her right now telling me I'm wrong. She's not yelling yet.
But you will put pineapple on pizza. Oh,
yeah. Gladly.
Teresa's going, oh, yeah. I don't put pizza on pizza, to be honest with you. I don't like pizza,
So now that we got off to the slapping, and then the pillow fighting and the pizza, thinking of slow things that go along, Orange Cassidy, speaking of slow, Orange Cassidy of AEW, the Mid-Atlantic champion or whatever, he carries it in a backpack.
Yes. I love it.
Yes, it is. He's had some of the most interesting title defense I have ever seen. Love the matches. Thought it was interesting. Love the way he just comes out there. He's like a school kid going into high school. Hey, Mom, look what I got today.
Did you see the match where he teamed up, where Orange Cassidy teamed up with Darby Allin and Sting?
No.
Yeah, oh, man, you got to look it up on YouTube, okay? Because there's a portion in there where Sting does the Orange Cassidy with the kicks and all that. Hilarious. Now, I'm going to take you back to last summer, okay? Because last summer, I think it was when Doc Gallows came in to Salt Lake City to do a performance with DCW. So it would have been last spring, okay? About this time last year. There was a portion where on AEW where Sting and Orange Cassidy had a little bit of something happened outside of the ring. And Sting, was mimicking Orange Cassidy. And it had just happened. Well, I'm down in Salt Lake City, and it's where I'm getting to meet Doc Gallows, who, by the way, is a great guy. And I was talking to some AEW prospects who were there in Salt Lake City that performed at they trained at the Nightmare Academy. That's what I'm trying to say. So I mentioned to one of them, I said, boy, that spot with Sting and Orange Cassidy was so funny. And the guy looked at me and says, oh, Sting's all in on Orange. And I just thought that was so funny to know that these guys who were training, they get to see this stuff behind the scenes, that how much Sting likes Orange Cassidy, because it's so different. And I think he really found a niche for his character that I really like.
Well, speaking of AEW, we're going to get on a little bit of a topic here. I think you would want to. We're going to have three letters. It's going to be MJF. And an incident that happened on one of their, it wasn't a paper, when he took the drink.
No, it wasn't on pay-per-view.
It was on a paper. Okay, he took the drink and he threw it on the kid.
Right.
Some say it was a shoot. Some say it was real. Did you see it?
I did. At the moment when it happened, I said, I hope that was set up ahead of time. And once again, when you talk about internet, you'll see some people say it was a shoot. Some people say it was a setup. I don't know. I know that that kid and his family were treated very nicely afterwards, and you haven't heard any kind of lawsuits or anything after that. But
no.
You know, MJF lives his character.
Too much.
And I will agree with you there. I'm a little tired of his stick, and I've said that before, and I'm not saying anything about that match he had with Bryan Danielson, that hour-long Iron Man match was as fine a match as you'll ever want to see. It was really, really well done between the two. And now Bryan Danielson has turned heel after that with the Blackpool Combat Club. They are now all heels. And that happened officially on the Dynamite show that I watched today. But that hour-long match was so well done, and I think Zane and I talked about that match and how well it was done. They went, an hour and 12 minutes with very few rest holds, very few rest minutes, and it was everything that you could imagine within an hour and 12 minutes. There was some comedy. There was some hardcore. There was grappling. There was gymnastics. There was spots that were obviously set up ahead of time on how to do them. It was very, very well done. A candidate for match of the year. It was that well done.
Well, after you saw MJF's face afterwards, whether that was...
That was real. That popped up.
Yeah.
That big old knot on his head, that popped up in the middle of the match.
And his eyes, the way they looked, there were some spots in there. You could tell those, the feet, the hand, the elbow, they were making some marks.
Yeah.
But the one that really is starting to get on my nerves is him. And that's what he wants. He went on a podcast and he said, you know, this is not a shoot. This is not, I'm not faking this. He said, I told Tony Khan, either daddy gets his money or daddy doesn't show.
Right.
And Tony Khan had to pay out the money. I'm sorry. No man is worth what I think MJF is being made, but that's like professional athletes. There's no man worth that much money just to bounce a ball or throw a football or anything else. I don't care who they are.
Right.
But, oh my gosh. I mean, he's making these demands and they're calling him the modern day Ric Flair. And Ric Flair takes precedence to that. He's not too happy, but can you not see a shadow of Ric Flair in it?
Oh yeah, I do. And when you mentioned Ric Flair, I wanted to. And this has nothing to do with Rick, but before we get too far, I want to put out our best, and I know you do too, to Jerry the King Lawler, who had a stroke, and he's doing fairly well. He made an appearance at the Hall of Fame ceremony where they inducted Andy Kaufman. He did it by tape from his home on the throne, but he looks good. He talked very well, and I had heard that it was his voice that was affected by the stroke he had. But to have that segment of his life with Andy Kaufman get such a high profile with the WWE and through all the social media and all that, I think you and I need to tip our hats to the King. And, you know, we're both big fans, but to have that happen to the King and to have him doing well is very heartwarming.
Yeah, to quote someone, Jerry the Teflon King, because nothing sticks to him.
Wow.
He bounces back. He bounces back from everything. This man's had, he was on his deathbed, literally. He bounces back from a heart attack, and now he's had a stroke. I mean, nobody can live forever, but this man keeps kissing death on the lips and coming right back for more.
Right.
It's amazing. Did you ever believe that Andy Kaufman would be in the WWE Hall of Fame?
But, you know, the celebrity wing, I think it's very appropriate for what he and Jerry did for professional wrestling during that time frame to, to keep that kayfabe going, because kayfabe was very prevalent at the time, and to keep that that storyline going and get on David Letterman to do what they did, to get all the national publicity they did, not only for Andy Kaufman, but for Jerry Lawler and for professional wrestling. I think to be in that celebrity wing of the WWE Hall of Fame is very appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Andy Kaufman went to Memphis, talked to Jerry Jarrett about it, wanted to do it, and one time Andy Kaufman asked Jerry, "Do you think I could get paid for this one time?" He never cashed the check.
Never cashed the check.
Never cashed the check. He just wanted it. But I'll tell you what, he did. That's probably the best kayfabe right there was on, you know, David Letterman. Was the slap real? I think Jerry came out and said, "Heck yeah, it was."
It was.
It was.
He connected.
It was real.
He
said that Andy said, "Go ahead and hit me."
Yeah.
And Jerry was like, "Okay, pow."
So if you want to, you can go see that on YouTube, but you can also see in the movie Man on the Moon with Jim Carrey playing Andy Kaufman, which to me is not a great movie, to be honest with you, but to have them go through that in that movie, you might want to check out that movie. Then they have Jim Ross sitting in the audience with Jerry at Andy's funeral. And it wasn't Jim, it was actually Lance Russell. It was something that was unheard of and historic in professional wrestling.
Well, that's what set the wrestling world on fire was that slap.
Yeah.
That's what set Memphis on fire was the slap too. And it was good. It was good, but the Hall of Fame was good. It was finally time to see, Rey Mysterio get in, the great Muda get in. I enjoyed it, and that was long awaited, and it was about time.
Right, it was.
So, I mean, even but Muda was never in the WWE.
No, he never
was. No, never was.
WCW and those matches he had with Sting, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible stuff.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, and that was, and with Flair, and now people are kind of upset with Flair's speech. That's come out, but heck, Flair was probably intoxicated as crap when he was on the stage, more than likely. We don't know, but and is there anything else you've been hearing lately going on that needs to be? How about with with Salt Lake, what's been going on with all of them up there?
Well, DCW is going to have an event this weekend, and then STF is going to have an event in June, and Gangrel is coming in, and Rhino will be part of that, and Tombstone Jesus is going to be there, and he used to team with Rhino years back. I used to do a tag team, so that's what's going on there. AEW announced they're going to be doing an all-in show at Wembley Stadium. That's coming up in August in London. So they're actually going to be traveling across the pond, as they say.
Nice.
So
Very good.
Yeah, Dive Wrestling still putting on some great events in Ogden. And it's one of those great times to, as Zane says, to be alive and being a professional wrestling fan.
Well, you and I have talked real quick. We're going to break off the subject. There is someone coming to Charlotte. And my girlfriend Lauren and I were talking about it. One of my favorite, all-time favorite bands, Guns N' Roses, is coming to Charlotte for their last tour. And we had looked up the prices. And I was just in shock. And then you chimed in to tell about your little horror story that you had in St. Louis with them. And I told Lauren about it, and she just looked at it and I said, now you see the reason why I don't want to go. Because it's probably going to turn out to be just like that, knowing the fan like I do. But $727, $772, I think, just for VIP tickets.
Yep.
To go back and see the band, and $80 for nose. No thanks. Nope. I have all your songs on my. No thanks, and I can hear the music.
Well, you know they haven't had any real problems since Axl kind of grew up a little bit. They were the bad boys of rock and roll during the time, and I think I've told the story that I went to a concert in St. Louis in 1991, I believe it was, and there was a riot that broke out because Axl jumped into the crowd. And it was just a mess. And then I think I even said on the Facebook page that night before the riot broke out, Slash was doing a guitar solo. And it was bad. Excuse me. He's supposed to be one of the best guitar players. Now, I realize he was probably high off a kite, but I remember a guy standing right next to me. And I looked over him and says, is this supposed to be good? And he looked at me, he says, no, it's terrible. And it was to that song, you know, the song Feelings by Morris Albert. Feelings.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he was playing at a rock and roll show. He was playing a guitar.
Yeah, well,
I'm going, it's Mr. Slash. This is not rock and roll. And it was terrible. It was a bad experience.
Well, I got to see Axl with Carrie Underwood. They were singing Sweet Child of Mine. And when I heard, and Lauren said, look at this. And I was like, okay. I started listening to about 5 seconds of it. And I went, okay, I'm done. Click. I can't listen to his voice. It sounds like two cats that are caught in a trash compactor. No. Sorry. I'm not paying money to see something and go, I just wasted my time. It would be like, you know, me watching Batman Forever again. So, no. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree. No. I agree. But anyway, if you want to go see Axl Rose, you want to go see Guns N' Roses, more power to you. So, okay.
No, thanks. No, it's okay. I've got better things to do than spend $80 and listen and can't even hear the music. So, thank you. But we've had a great time today. It's been long since I've been on. And I've missed doing Turnbuckle Trash. We've just been extremely busy. And it's just been one thing after another. And I've been trying to get back on. But life, as they say, it catches up with you as best it can. And then it tries to jerk you down. But it's hopefully we'll be doing more and more as much as we can.
Okay.
So don't worry, guys.
Let's take out the trash. Roger that. No, not that kind of trash.
Not what kind of trash?
Wait, so we're not taking out the actual trash? No, I meant it figuratively.
I spent a lot of time separating out the recyclables.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Well, quickly, before we close this portion out, I want to throw in some news stories, items to you. One is the Stephen Amell wrestling show on, what was it, Stars, called Heels.
Yeah.
There was some problems with the distribution, the company that had Season 2 and Stars, but Stephen Amell has announced Season 2 will be coming back sometime this summer. Very good show. I really enjoyed it myself.
So good.
Oh, really good.
Did you get? I think somebody gave that DVD to you, didn't they?
I think they did, and I appreciated it too. Loved
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And yeah, then there's the Dark Side of the Ring. That's the show that's on Vice TV, which they go to the controversial side of professional wrestling and show some of the darker moments in the business. And they're going to come back for Season 4 on my birthday, May the 30th. They're going to start off Season 4. They're going to have stories about Abdullah the Butcher, the auto accident that almost killed Magnum TA and ruined his career, and then Chris Candido and Sonny, and the controversy, especially with Sonny, as she went on, and Chris, of course, died way too early. But that's going to be on Dark Side of the Ring. And then I want to send out some best wishes to, you know, we talk about really good young performers. And Dante Martin of AEW, he and his brother are tag team. They are so much fun to watch. And his brother was injured and missed almost a year. And then over the weekend at the Ring of Honor's event in a tag match with Penta, something happened with the ladder. Dante Martin broke his lower leg and broke it pretty bad, and he's out at least 9 months to a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, just remember, it's fake, Dave.
Yeah, it's fake.
Yeah. No, not even close. But yeah, you know, that's great, Dave. That's great. There's a lot of good things going on, and you know, local stuff going on. I know. You know, people, if they're interested in Salt Lake City wrestling, there's a lot of cool stuff going on around here. And, you know, we got some pretty good little promotions around here. And, you know, go out, even if you're not here in Salt Lake, find your local show. You know, real quick, I'll tell you, you know, we spent some time in Nashville last week, and we had the opportunity to go see the Grand Ole Opry. Mm-hmm. And one of the performers at the Grand Ole Opry, they thanked everybody for coming out tonight, and they said how important it is to support live music. They said it doesn't matter. They said go to your local bars, go to your local parks, go to your, you know, little venues, support live music. And she says, I can't emphasize enough to support live music. And so you think the same for us with professional wrestling. I mean, support live professional wrestling, your local right. companies. The WWE doesn't need your money. I know that, see, people like what, and they always say, oh, well, we're watching, you know, these other ones. It's not like watching the WWE. It's because it's not the WWE.
Right.
You know, it's their own writers, their own fun. These guys are trying real hard. They all have full-time jobs. Support those guys. Don't support Vince paying off his hookers.
Ooh, yeah. You got that one right, Bubba.
So, yes. So, there we have it.
Okay.
I'm going to step down off my soapbox now and pass the torch to Dave to close us out.
Okay. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking to you, Zane. Of course, we always enjoy when we get together and we have a real good time. Chris is extremely busy with his job right now. He's having to take some courses to be able to keep his job, so we wish him the best. And we're going to have some big news coming from Chris soon, okay? I can't say what it is because I promised him I wouldn't, but we'll have some big news for Chris. And, you know, it's just one of those times controversy in professional wrestling, but also a lot of good stuff. And like I said, you said, is get out there and try to support the local guys, the little guys, and take the family, take the kids, and explain to people. I think when you get the chance, if you're a wrestling fan, to explain to people what professional wrestling is and what it isn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think when people understand it, because I've had a few of my friends really start understanding wrestling now, and I talk to people every once in a while, and I explain, you know, the storytelling and how it might be predetermined, but man, these guys, they get hurt. Grayson Waller from NXT, the cane shots, the kendo stick shots, his back was hamburger meat against Johnny Gargano. Gargano beat him like a government mule. When you explain what these guys and what they do, putting their lives and their bodies online, but they do it for the same reason that someone gets on stage and acts or sings, like you said, live music. They love it. They do it because it brings joy to so many people, and they enjoy. Tombstone Jesus is a wonderful example. How much he brightens up when he's talking to kids. Yeah. The man loves that aspect of professional wrestling. So, Tombstone, we love you, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Dave, let's just keep positive. Keep thinking good thoughts. And it's still a good time to be a wrestling fan. And we'll catch you on the next one, huh?
That's right, Bubba.
Hey.
Okay. Let me turn this off. So if I don't get something going here.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Kind of gets my veins poking out and my eyes get all bloodshot for a minute.
Who else is tired of this story? You write that check to Susie Boom Boom Kowalski. Yes.
Yeah.
I was going, me, 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 me. Before he got beat by the Iron Chef. The Iron Chef. Financial people that got some money.
You can only have a steak for so long before it's time to get planned.
That makes sense.
Okay, talk to me like I'm not. Talk to me like I'm not a financial person. Because I texted you.
That's easy to do, Zach.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, no kidding. Don't be self-employed, they said. You'll make all this money, they said.
Yeah, that's.
My hat's off in my hair too to these guys. It's like a Ford owner saying, "I'm tired of you and going to Chevrolet."
Let's shift those gears, baby. Move on to the.
Let's get some meat.
You're not as young as you used to be. Your face was round. You looked like the Kool-Aid man coming down the aisle.
Want to get some meat? No water, no vegetables. I just want
the one man human sweat gland
to break out the bacon. Here, go for it. Take it, run.
Well,
steal the bacon, Dave. Steal the bacon.
I'm going to steal the bacon right here. I will never, ever, 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 may I say, ever. Does that make sense?
Hey, talk to me like I'm not.
Marshmallow fluff does not belong on peanut butter sandwiches, and pineapple belongs on pizza.